Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. God is always good. Thank you, Caleb, for those encouraging words this morning. Turning our focus. One I thought of is devil likes to remind us that or tell us that excuse me, you heard wrong. I don't think you heard right. Or well, then why are you where you are, right? Why are you struggling? What's wrong? I thought if God would give direction, then there should be, everything should work out. But we just know that, you know, God works all things together for good. To those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And we know that trials draw us to him. We know that trials of our faith are precious to him. And that he has a reason and a purpose for everything that he allows. But yeah, what a blessing just to be reminded that if we are feeling, if we are being downcast, and if we are finding ourselves in a place where we're struggling and we're believing lies, our focus needs to shift. And I was just blessed this morning, just battling and struggling with not feeling prepared and just kind of struggling through the last few days and just asking God for direction and just for his confirmation. And then this morning, after we were done eating breakfast, I just wanted to get away for a while and just decided to go in the basement and just worship him for a little bit. And then as I was worshiping, I got this two verses here from Hebrews that just spoke to me. And you know, so many times we think like we have to do it. We have to do this. Like we're called, you know, we need to make this happen. And yet that's not what it's about. It's about him. But this morning, these two verses, Hebrews 4, 9, and 10, it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works." And I'm just like, thank you, Lord. I just rest in you this morning. You are the one that we want to see. Glorify yourself. Reveal the Son to us this morning through the Word of God. Through the worship this morning. Was God revealing his heart to you? Or was your mind somewhere else? Weren't you here? Were you thinking of other things and maybe the challenges that you're going through and just you just couldn't enter in? There's a rest to be entered into. And it remains for the people of God. But we must cease from our own works. We must cease from our own works as God did. And so that's my desire this morning, just to cease, to get behind the cross, to see, allow Christ to reveal his glory to us this morning through the Word of God. I'm going to look in 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning. I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 3. I have a few comments. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. And in my heading here, it says, exhortations to steadfastness. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both, like both epistles he's talking about, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, or should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So after an encouraging and a letter in 1 Peter, seems like second in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, chapter 2 and 3 are more maybe just one, asking us to be aware or remember. Remember, that word remember, stir up, remember. In 2 Peter, we saw that he started out, there will be false teachers, just as there were false prophets. And many are going to follow their pernicious ways. That's sad. Many will follow their pernicious ways into their own destruction. Do we know who we're following? Do we know the people that we follow or that we listen to? Do we know their desires, their heart? And we saw there in Deuteronomy, if a dreamer dream a dream and it come to pass, that sounds good to me. He's speaking truth and God spoke to him and it comes to pass. And yet, I believe underneath, there's a desire to lead others maybe into his own thing or even away from God because he's asking him to come, let's go worship the idols. We looked at how God gives these false teachers power to do miracles, to see whether we love him in our heart or not. Like if in the day that we live in, I think we have such a tendency to just grab a hold of things that look and sound exciting. And I think that can be very dangerous because we all love miracles. We all love to see miracles. And God is able to do miracles. And it's just that, a miracle. It's not something that maybe happens. I don't know. But what are we after in the miracles, I guess, is I think where we can fall or that we can be caught up is our heart is to see God do a miracle for me or for us. And yet, God is allowing these things to see whether we would pursue him with all our heart or not. Are we rooted and grounded in the love of God? What is our focus? What is our identity? We looked at that this morning. What is our identity? What are we believing? Where's our focus? Are we rooted and grounded in the love of God? Are we settled in who Christ is in us? Or do we have that desire to somehow be known or be with those who are known or whatever? Are we settled in Christ this morning? Is he enough? What does that mean when we say Christ is enough? What does that actually mean to us? it's good for us to be reminded. In 2 Peter there, he just gave a few different warnings. It's good for us to be reminded that we don't get discouraged at times when we get into situations and we're in a challenge. We're in something that's being us. We're struggling. We're dealing, maybe believing a lie or whatever it might be. And we're like, this is, nobody knows it. And I'm sure it doesn't happen to anybody else. And we just keep it in ourselves. And yet Jesus gave us some warnings in the Bible. Matthew 24, you know, it says many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Like, he didn't say that to like make us scared or feel like we're going to be deceived, but to warn us, like, don't just go after anything. 2 Timothy, Paul said, yeah, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, maybe it seems like at times we're the only ones, as Elijah did. I'm the only one left. Nobody else believes this way anymore, or whatever it is. Nobody sees it like, I'm the only one, right? He didn't say this, except that we shouldn't be surprised when we suffer persecution. Like, if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we shall suffer persecution. I'm not saying they're going to whip us, but they might scoff at you for not doing the things that they do. It's persecution. It hurts when you speak up a truth and someone says, well, that's not how I believe, or that's not for today, or whatever it might be. It's persecution. It stings. It hurts. Acts 14, 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You can pick a lot of these kind of verses, and next thing, all we do is, oh, you're just looking on the negative, and it's not negative. I think it's God just reminding us, okay, remember, I told you this. When we come into a real life situation, when you're coming every day, you're working, you're at work or whatever it might be, and you come into a situation, this isn't exactly just negative. It's just simply, he's saying, remember how it was spoken of by the prophets, our apostles, Jesus Christ. Remember these things. These things have been told us. It's not like this is something out of the ordinary. God said this is the way it's going to be. So as we go through this book, I'm just saying, remember what the word says. Do we know what the word says? Peter is saying in verse 1 that in both his letters, he's just simply trying to stir up our pure minds. Remember what was spoken of. Remember that I told you, or remember what Christ said, or the apostles, Paul. Remember these things. We should know this. And if we know of people who are scoffing at the word of God, or like, there's not going to be an end to this. Or, you know, yeah, sure, people die. I mean, they've been doing that since the flood. Or the beginning of time. People have died. Children are born. Next generation. It's just, life just goes on. There's nothing after this. We're just doing, and they do this willingly, ignorant of these things, to try to convince themselves that they're okay. No need of God. I don't need God. I'm all right. But you know what? Some of those people, they end up being killed, whatever it might be. Then what? Like, he gives us a warning here that there is something. Verse 4, and saying, where's the promise? All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. All things continue. This is just how it's always been. I don't believe Jesus. I mean, I haven't seen him. You haven't seen him. I don't think this is true. 2 Timothy 2:15, we read of this has been even in Paul's day here. We see that verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrew the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Like they were already back then saying, wow, the resurrection's past already. I don't think we have to worry about that anymore. You know, they ignorantly do this to convince themselves that everything is fine. The heavens, it says, and earth in verse 7, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We can read in Genesis of the flood. We can read how God created the heavens and the earth. We can read that it was, there was water, it was, everything was just chaos. There was no order. And God spoke, and there was order. And he created the heavens, and he created the sea and the land. But the people became wicked. We looked at it a little bit in 2 Peter 2 there. Even though God had created that, the people became evil and wicked, and he destroyed it with a flood. But then there he preserved some, Noah and his family, and he said, I'm never going to destroy the earth again by water. And he made that promise with Noah there. This earth, it says, which are now, by that same word that God spoke back then, by that same word now, this heaven and this earth is reserved unto fire on the day of judgment. God is going to purge this earth with fire someday. There's going to be a purging going on. There's going to be a day of judgment and perdition, or a destruction of these ungodly men who have been teaching falsely. There's going to be a day when this is going to happen. Verse, let's see, 2 Thessalonians here, verse 8 to 10, just a few verses here. Second Thessalonians 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Imagine, one day there's going to be a destruction of all perdition, and we're going to glorify Christ. The church is going to be a glory to Christ in that day. But all those who are false, all the false prophets, all the false teachers, all those who work iniquity are going to be destroyed. God's going to purify the earth with fire. Is it worth it? Do we know? Do we know those who labor among us? Do we know the teachers we're listening to? I listen to a lot of messages. I love listening to messages. But do I know the people? Do I hold it against the Word of God? Sure, there's things that we would disagree on, but as a whole, I'm encouraged. But yet, I don't know them. Like, I wouldn't want to just, like, commit my whole life to them. I can learn from them. But do we know those who labor among us? You hear of stories of people who have great followings and then end up in destruction. And like, do we know who we follow? Are we convinced? Are we grounded in the Word of God? Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in therein shall be burned up. I think one day they're just, you know, these false teachers and these people who work iniquity, it's going to be like a thief in the night. They're going to be caught off guard. And it's going to come suddenly. I don't believe they're just, I don't know how you would come to that place. But yet they're convinced that everything is fine. One day, we're going to realize how temporary everything is that we ever liked or had or part of. Everything that we ever had a part of in this life, our properties, our vehicles, our anything that we enjoy or, you know, we tend to grab a hold of as, you know, this is just what I love to do. But yet, all this is going to be burned up. The heavens, the elements are going to be burned up with a fervent heat. It's all going to dissolve. Like, really? And then we're going to realize how temporary really everything is. I don't know if I grasp the reality of just everything that I see. Basically, anything that I can see outside of people are just going to dissolve and melt. And the only thing that's worth anything is you and I, or relationships, as Christ has paid for that. In chapter 2, we see that these teachers even deny the fact that Christ bought them. Here, they're willingly denying and ignorantly being that this is all going to be destroyed. They don't like to be reminded of that. And I was thinking this week, you know, why would an atheist have a problem with me putting a Bible verse at the end of my lane or setting up a Christmas decoration out by the road? Why would that be a problem? If he doesn't believe there's a God, then what's the matter to him what I do? I believe somewhere deep down in there's still the reality that that offends me. Why? If you don't believe. And yet they're willingly ignorant. They're trying to undo anything that would remind them continuously that there is a God. And they don't like that. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18 is a little bit of Christ's return. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So what a comfort that is this morning. How do we comfort one another that it's okay? God is going to come again. Jesus is going to come back and take us to be with him. What a joy to know. One day we can again be reunited with our loved ones, those who have gone before us. We're going to be caught up together with them to meet Jesus in the air. Do we look forward to seeing Jesus? Or is our focus more, oh, I just can't wait to see my city or that golden city, right? It's all going to be there. But when I think of heaven, it's like, I'm going to meet Jesus Christ. He died for me. He's going to open his arms and receive us to himself. He can't wait till the wedding. He can't wait for that day to receive us to himself and feed us. He's going to sit down and gird himself and feed us. Praise the Lord. That's our Jesus. That's our Savior. Verse 11 through 14 is just seeing how all this stuff is going to be dissolved. It says the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Wow. May we be found of him in peace, resting from our own works, resting from our own works, just like God did from his, and to be found in Christ, to be found in that loving arms of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, 5 through 13. Colossians is, I love the book of Colossians. Talk about wanting an identity for who Christ is and who we are in Christ. Read Colossians. Colossians 3, a few verses there, 5 to 13. And this is just, talking about what manner of conversation, or what should our lifestyle look like, or what should our life be presenting or resembling? Looking at this, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Look at Colossians 3, verse 5 to 13. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. This wrath that Christ is going to display one day, purge the earth with fire, is going to be on the children of disobedience. We are to be the children who obey the Lord, as in Matthew 7, those who hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man. We are going to be, if the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. We know that. We've been saved out of these things. In verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Probably one of the greater enemies' tricks in our day is unforgiveness. Just being unforgiving. Not being able to forgive. Oh, somebody hurt me, and I've been hurt, and I can't, you know, just harboring that bitterness. And it defiles many when we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, when we have bitterness against our parents or whatever it might be. I'm not exempt from this. These things are in all ages of people. These things are a continuous thing. We're not just one day exempt from being bitter or unforgiving. Like, we have to forgive. Is a choice that we make. Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. Bowels of mercy, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, all these things. We put these things on. How do we put them on? I think it's a choice. A lot of it is just simply choosing. You would choose to do this. Do we choose to put on Christ? Then they have verses 15 through 17 here. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. And I, again, just thinking of the flood and the time leading up to the flood and the long-suffering of God to put up with all this evil and immorality and hatred. And their hearts was continually wickedness. And yet he put up with it, his long-suffering, for all them years. And when the ark was built, when there was time to come in, he invited everyone in. Anybody would have been able to go in there and be saved. And yet, just like it says here, they didn't need God. I don't need God. I'll be fine. It never rained and it never will. Right? Do we get caught up in this? But yet the account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. I'm so grateful for the long-suffering of Jesus Christ, for his forbearing with me, forbearing with us, his being long-suffering with me. I've been a Christian for over 20 years, and God is still being long-suffering and forbearing with me. Thank you, Lord. I so appreciate the long suffering of our Lord. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. According to Romans, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. You would think it'd be his wrath, right? You'd think it'd be the wrath of God coming down on us that would make us repent, but it isn't. Think about it, how good God has been to you. And when I sometimes get into that, just meditating how God has been so good, it just causes me to love him and to repent. And I'm just like, God, I want to be better. I want to do better. I want to quit this. I'm tired of being this poor representation ambassador or whatever. But it's his goodness that leads us to repentance. It is the goodness of God. Think about the long suffering of Christ. And if we read it there in Ephesians, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Forgive each other. Put it away. Give it to the Lord. Let him deal with it. He will forgive us. Verse 16. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. We looked at a few of these things in his letters. I mean, you could go through Ephesians, Colossians, just different of Paul's letters, and just recognizing who we are in Christ and all these wonderful blessings and the wisdom that God gave Paul to write the New Testament there. But it says also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their indestruction. Like, if we don't understand the scriptures, it's just simply saying that those who are unlearned and unstable, they twist the scriptures to make it suit themselves. And it brings destruction to themselves. If we don't understand the scriptures, what do we do with it? If we don't know what it means, or we maybe don't understand it, do we try to make it fit my understanding? And it ends up, we twist the scriptures, and it ends up unto our own destruction. But it says it's the unstable and the unstable, or those who are not grounded in God. Why is it that way? You can find that. And that's the ones. And as you think about even the wolves, you talk about sheep this morning and how sheep are led and in a sense are really kind of stupid animals. I mean, they need somebody to lead them and to help them through life. And yet the wolves are the ones, they'll pick on the weak and the ones who are weak and that need help and kind of get pushed to the side. Those are the ones. But those who are unlearned and unstable, think about this in a false teacher who's unstable and unlearned and doesn't even have the scripture, doesn't understand it, and yet he's out there teaching and preaching and trying to explain the scriptures, and yet he's twisting it. Do we know the scriptures? Do we know what the scriptures are saying? I need you, brothers and sisters. We need each other. I need you, brothers and sisters, to teach me. I've learned so much from the church, my own family, from my own children. We learn from each other. But when we think we don't need God, when we think we have it all, when we don't need God, then we fall into a trap. Verse 17 and 18, just want to leave us here with some encouragement. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Just stay steadfast. It's not those who begin the journey with God but fall away that are saved. It says, but those who are faithful to the end. God is not a respecter of persons, it says. We are accountable before an almighty God for each of our own lives that we live. God is going to judge us. His word Jesus said, I didn't come to judge, but I just brought the word. It's the word that's going to judge us. So do we know the word of God? Or are we twisting it to just fit our own desires? It says, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? I want to close with Ephesians 4, a few verses here, 14, 15, and 16. How do we grow in grace? And what is grace? Grace is God's gift to us, God's grace to us. When we ask him to forgive us, when we repent of our sins, God's grace, it forgives us. It wipes everything clean as it never was. God's grace. But anyway, here we, Ephesians 4, verses 14, 15, and 16, it says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When the body is walking in love, when there's a love in among us, if there's a love in my heart, I can have a lot of wisdom and knowledge, and yet if it's not out of love, it really doesn't help me anything. But when the love is flowing, when there's a love in the body, when there's a care for each other, the body edifies itself. That's when Christ is being exalted, when the body just edifies itself. We edify one another. We encourage one another. That would be my desire, that we would be here encouraging each other, edifying one another. Don't get tossed about with every wind of doctrine that comes blowing by. Test it with the scriptures and know the word of God. Amen. Brother Elmer.